Your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett. Well, you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, except for the next couple of weeks. He's in Morocco seeking to track down one of the suicide hijackers allegedly killed on 9/11, and I wish him luck. If anyone can pull this off, it's our Boy Wonder. There may be as many as three most controversial issues in 9/11 research. One of them, of course, is the possibility that directed energy weapons may have been used to destroy the World Trade Center, where research here has been led by Judy Wood. Another, more recent, is a question about the adequacy of the evidence that's been adduced in favor of the thermite hypothesis proposed by Stephen Jones, where he and I have engaged in an exchange recently that I've elaborated upon, which you can find on 911scholars.org. It's my belief that if Stephen Jones' work is as ill-founded as I believe, that the community is making a huge mistake by placing a great deal of confidence in it to the extent of wanting to go to court on the basis of what I believe is a case that could be easily dismissed. But third, and our subject today, is a question of what happened at the World Trade Center in relation to the aircraft. My guest today is a leading proponent of the view that there was some combination of video fakery and the planes may or may not have been involved at the World Trade Center, and this has created a huge consternation in the research community. It's my great pleasure to welcome to the Dynamic Duo my special guest today, Rosalie Grable. Rosalie, are you there?
Hey.
Yeah, speak right up, Rosalie. We need to hear you clearly. Listen, of course, you go by the handle of the Web Fairy. How did you happen to pick that?
Before that, I was the Textile Fairy.
The Textile Fairy. Okay, go for it.
My specialty was restoration of textiles.
Okay.
And to do that, I had developed an incredible level of eye-hand coordination and just eye skill. Because I had to be able to put like 16 stitches into a running inch of fine cotton in like the old sewing nuns used to do.
Okay.
And that was my background, was in textile restoration. So when I first looked at the first hit footage and saw that there was no plane in it, I saw this thing I came to call a what's it. At the edge, coming down, and I said, oh, what the heck? And that was my introduction to it. Before that, I was just a Democrat.
Tell us a little about where you grew up, you know, a little bit about your life history before you got involved in 9/11, and what drew you into 9/11 research?
My home was Grand Rapids, Michigan. I've lived in Chicago for better than 10 years now. I had not intended 911 research, but when it happened, you know, I was fooled right along with everybody else until the next day when they had President Bush make this incredible warmonger speech, and then immediately after that they had Louis Farrakhan, who, you know, I'd always been taught was a monster and a half, making a loving and comforting and presidential-sounding speech, and something in my head just blew loose.
That's quite a contradiction, isn't it? That's a wonderful disabuse of popular stereotypes about who is and isn't the person that they're portrayed as being. I love it.
Yeah, that let me know that I didn't know nearly as much as I thought. I'd read two newspapers a day. My background to my life was CNN headline news running, you know, just kind of 24/7 because I didn't care that much for music, except I've learned I like blues. But and they had me just as fooled as anybody else.
Well, you know, in 9/11 research, with regard to the Twin Towers, there are a couple major issues here. One is whether the videos may have been altered. Another is whether or not planes actually hit the buildings. Is there a third, Rosalie, or are those the two major issues?
I'm willing to agree that's the issues. I don't see it as an issue because there is no plane in the first hit footage. It's just plane ain't there. I'm really sorry that after 5 years I've not been able to express that very simple, direct fact to the world that there's no plane in the fucking footage. None. Not a big plane, not a little plane. No plane.
And the footage you're talking about is footage that you take to be authentic on, you know, on what ground
it's
exactly?
It's screwed, but it still shows what it shows. What they've done to it, they have taken out frames to make the part where the thing is in the air and the thing is in front of the building, or the things are in front of the building, to make that part pass faster. But if there had been a plane, which we all agree would have been, you know, the size of the plane shape hole is the size of a 767, right?
Well, it's supposed to be, or approximately, or whatever, some variation thereon.
Well,
yeah, if it's authentic,
been,
and if the 767 hit the building.
Yeah, that there's a hole the size and shape of a 767 in that building. We can agree on that part. But that means if there had been a 767 in any frame prior to that hole, it would have been larger. Because any object that is closer to the camera is going to be larger than the same object farther away from the camera. If there had been a plane, the distance of that plane-shaped hole is the farthest away that plane ever got, so therefore the plane, if it were there, would have been larger than that plane-shaped hole in every single frame.
Is it? The footage you're talking about, again, is precisely which piece of footage?
It appeared in the NAUDE 911 Director's Cut DVD and was shown on television. The earliest we found was around midnight, California time, of September 11th.
So, of course, we're talking here about the hit on the North Tower.
I'm talking about, yes, the first hit, the North Tower footage, as shown to us as proof that the plane hit the building, only there's no plane in it.
And in relation to the North Tower, that's the only footage of which we are aware that...
No, there's the quote-unquote alleged Pavel footage, which was actually taken from a fire truck on the entrance to the tunnel coming into Manhattan. This fire truck was waiting in line when the hit happened, and this fire truck, all of the people on it died because they wound up as first responders. And then after that, their fire station was used by politicians and all for, you know, meet and greet at a safe distance at a nice picturesque fire station.
Now, of course, there's something that appears to be sailing through the air toward the North Tower. What do you take that something to be?
I take it to be a flock of UAV, drone, aerial vehicle craft.
Okay, stand by. We're going to return with my special guest, Rosalie Grable. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Today, my special guest is Rosalie Grable, who's an expert in the area of film fakery, particularly in relation to the Twin Towers, and we're talking about the evidence here and what it all means. Rosalie, if I might summarize the point you were making before about the Twin Towers, we have this Nadi Brothers footage in particular, and it shows something that you're quite confident is not a plane, certainly not a big Boeing, but might be am I reading right, Global Hawk technology or something such?
They've used the word Global Hawk on two different things. One of these is remote control planes, and the other is simply a remote control system that controls UAV craft. It is the second one that I believe is what we're dealing with here, the second definition of Global Hawk.
Now, this is your interpretation of what we're actually seeing in the video.
I've watched this video 20 million zillion skillion times.
Yeah.
I've blown it up as much as 10,000%. If it could be done to that video, I've done it.
Now, you mentioned that there's another video from, of course, no doubt, a completely different angle. And what does that video tell us?
It shows us what these, quote, dust pimples look like from the side. And it shows us that... it's completely phony. The cover story of the Pavel video is completely phony. I mean, they have this guy doing close-ups, but the cover story says he never noticed what he caught.
tell us a little more about the Pavel video. I may have seen it, but I didn't know that I was seeing it.
All right. It's the one that was released on September the 11th of 2003. Its cover story is this Czech guy just happened to be in New York and just happened to buy a video camera that just happened to be the same sort of camera that the nowadays use. and he just happened to catch both hits.
And where was he, roughly speaking, then? He must have been a little further down toward the Trade Center to catch them both, and the Nade brothers were in midtown Manhattan.
Well, apparently, since this is the first hit footage, is most certainly a Nade outtake, you know, as in it wound up not fitting their plot line, so it got set aside and then, you know, renamed and repurposed and given a cover story. But the cover story has the guy sitting in a black SUV. Now, if he was sitting in a black SUV, it would not be a fire truck being reflected by the cars ahead.
Now, the guy, you mean Pavel?
The theoretical Pavel, yeah.
Yeah, the hypothetical. The presumptive, the supposed Pavel.
Which happens to be the name of a Czech glass artist who had died recently before that. So apparently our script boys just looked at Google for a Czech name and used that one.
Now, just so I get this straight, and maybe do you have these both of these videos online where we could look at them? Before we get there, do you see these two videos as being consistent? Are they showing the same thing?
They're both showing no plane. In the Pavel video, what gets called a plane is really a street light. And then once the street light is no longer in position, they just keep going with their circle so that you can imagine that there's something hitting. But there's nothing visible hitting. There's just these dust pimples appearing.
Okay, now as you know, but our audience may not, I'm going to have you on again tomorrow. So I want us to go very slowly and patiently through these things. We're going to have plenty of time. And there's a website you'd like to take us to look at the Nade brothers and the Pavel videos.
Yeah, okay. That one is webferry.org/Pavel. P-A-V-E-L.
Okay. Okay, let me put it in. I'm very pleased to have you on, Rosalie, because this is such a complicated business. Let's see, webferry.org.pavel.
Yep.
E-L, isn't it?
Yes, P-A-V-E-L.
Pavel slash?
http://webferry.org/Pavel.
Okay. Okay, I'm going somewhere. I'm there. So-called alleged Pavel footage was shot from a fire truck, okay?
Yeah, that's the main point of my page there, but I ought to have a link to my footage itself.
And when you say reflection, we're looking at the reflection in the rear window of the car ahead of this one?
Yeah.
That's what's interesting and important there?
As far as I'm concerned, yes, we are seeing a fire truck reflected in...
Oh, yeah, high and red and flashy. It does look a lot like a fire truck. Yeah,
yeah, and then it hits its a stoplight, and we see reflected in the front on what I believe to be a catering truck.
Yeah, and this is also some kind of toll booth we're going through here, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're about to go into the tunnel that will bring them up in Manhattan.
Okay, I see a vast number of links. Is the first one 9/11 slideshow / Pavel 237 a good one to go to?
They're all good. Oops,
I mean, that's
that
a great first one. That's about
that's
Pavel
a
first
hit
resources in red.
Yeah, I may have lots of bad links. We'll see.
Where should we start? Slideshow?
My links aren't working. I've crumbed up that page.
Well, let me see.
Anything that's there has to be repaired because...
Okay, I see two... Yeah, the first two aren't working. Let's see.
Yeah, I think nothing is working on that page.
Oh, that's too bad.
I hadn't planned on bringing up Pavel.
Pavel,
so,
yeah. Well, that's okay. We'll go. We can put it up tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'd rather talk about... today, I would much rather talk about the NAWD first hit footage.
Okay.
In specific.
Okay.
And I'm starting to hear
there?
Sound again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll be right back with my special guest, Rosalie Grable. We're discussing video footage in relation to the Twin Towers. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Today, my special guest, Rosalie Grable, is an expert in the study of the films, videos, photographs related to the Twin Towers attack on 9/11. And we're talking about the first event, the purported hit on the North Tower. And Rosalie's been explaining that there are two videos that exist in relation to that. One is the so-called Pavel video, and the other is the Naudé Brothers video. And because the Pavel video isn't available on her site today, we'll continue our discussion of that tomorrow. Meanwhile, Rosalie, where should we go to check out the Naudé Brothers video?
Missilegate.com.
Okay.
http://missilegate, missilegate.com.
Missilegate.com. Here you go. All right.
Now, this is DVD footage split into fields. There's two fields per frame. So we get a clearer view by deinterlacing. That is to remove the top. Well, they're split every other one. First, you get a line of the first, and then you get a line of the next one. They do this because that way, when it's shown, it gives you more of an ongoing view.
Okay, I'm looking at your very top fourfold spread here of different frames, and we see in the top left, we see something coming toward the building. Top right, it's getting closer. Bottom left, it seems to be hitting. Bottom right, it's gone into the building. Correct?
Yeah, that's
and you're suggesting this may be a cruise missile or something, but that it's certainly not a Boeing 757.
It is certainly not a Boeing 757.
And it certainly doesn't look like a Boeing 757. And I must say, every time I ever saw this footage, I thought it was strange that the whatever it was that was approaching the North Tower didn't look a whole lot larger.
Yeah, I named it long before when I figured it must be a missile, but that is before I found the page named the webferry.org/UAV, which is an old page, like from 1997 or something like that, describing these UAV craft that are independent of one another, but can fly in a very close formation, which is called Global Hawk, and I figured out that that's what I'm looking at, that there's a whole bunch of objects here, because once they reach the building, they split apart from one another. You never see the same thing that you saw in the air.
Uh-huh.
Once you're in front of the building, it doesn't look like that anymore.
So looking at the top left now, still at the top of the page, you think that might be how many independently
I can't know.
Navigable
I can figure out that they are
vehicles.
several types. There's one that is white and is triangular shaped, or at least one that is white and triangular shape, and it takes a position in the pretty close to that thing that looks like it's glowing on the right-hand corner. It appears to be around the same size as that. We've discovered that to be the thing that they use for cleaning windows.
Oh, yeah.
So this is an object of determinable size that we can use on other things to determine size.
Oh, so you think there was a window cleaner up there at that point in time?
Not a person. But
yeah, but one of those, platforms?
Yeah, the platform thing and all. I'm pretty sure that
that's what we're seeing in the fourth of these frames out to the right at a slight angle?
We see it at the top corner of the building, the left-hand corner. The right-hand corner.
Yeah.
Throughout is this. We don't get to see what it looks like clearly. If you go down, each of these pages that I have here is, each one opens up to a lot more pictures.
Oh, really? Oh, I see. Okay, terrific. I just opened 000 and I got the first 11.
Yeah.
So a total of 12 frames there.
Yeah.
Very good. Why don't you talk about these? This is where you think this is a multiple. Whatever this thing is coming toward it, it's not one object, it's several.
Right. I can't know exactly how many, but the article on UAVs seems to say that they're available as small as duck size.
What does the acronym UAV stand for?
Unmanned
Aerial
vehicle?
Yeah, probably that's right. Yeah, these sure look very peculiar, don't they? They almost look like a winged bird.
Yeah.
Look at number 7, for example. That could be like a hawk or something coming toward us.
Yeah, but again, it's a bunch of somethings. And they change relation to one another just enough that it's always the same, you know, visibly the same object, but the differences from frame to frame are very subtle, but the differences are different.
I'm now going to frame number 12, which gives me frames 12 through 23.
Okay. Frames 12. Yeah. Okay. And
so
here,
what do you estimate the size of this thing to be? I mean, if the front of the facade is 208 feet, that is looks to me like it might be, what, more than a tenth.
I'd have to know the size of what I believe to be a window washer thingy at the corner there.
Well,
they're
square buildings and the 208 across. It's going to be 208 across here at the top. What percentage of that, I'm asking, do you think that, this odd thing is? It looks to me like it's about more than 10%.
Remember, there's a bunch of them.
Right, a bunch of them. I'm just trying collectively to see how much they stand.
Okay.
Looks like it might be 20%. I'd say it might be 40 feet. They might be 40 feet across in some dimension. Would that be consistent with your views?
No, I'm saying the biggest that I think that we have here is about car size. But again, there are numerous of them, some of which are going over the top of the building, and we don't see them again right away.
You know, that's very interesting. They are so bloody high. I mean, this is supposed to hit the 96th floor. We're talking about a 110-story building. They're way too high.
Yeah, they've crossed the top corner, but while they're in the air, it's still higher than the top corner.
I'm going to the next set, beginning 024.
Okay, I'll go back and look at that set with you.
Now,
again,
there may be, of course, a perspectival problem there in them looking as though they're going above the building, because now, of course, we see a sequence which is bringing them toward the building. It looks, by the time we get down to 35 and 34, and even 33 and 32.
Yeah, some of them have gone over the top, and some of them are seen in front of the building now.
What floor do they seem to be hitting?
I can't tell what we've
this
got here.
It doesn't look like it could possibly be the 96th floor.
Yeah. Well, they haven't hit anything yet. So far, they're just in front of the building.
All right.
I can't even swear that they've started.
Let's see. And, I'm hitting, okay, now 36.
Yes.
I'm now in 36 through 47.
All right, we're going to look at 36 through 47.
I mean, I sure agree that this is much too nebulous and murky to be at 767. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
And it's the wrong size and the wrong shape.
Yeah. All that's pretty weird. I agree. Let's flip forward to 48.
All right.
There we get some impact. I see in 48 and frame number 51, right? Is that the...
Frame number 51, that's the flash frame.
Tell me about it.
What I believe that the flash frame is, since it's before they are doing their dust pimples, we're going off on break again momentarily.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead. Page your seven.
Okay. This seems to be for...
That's okay. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with my special guest, Rosalie Grable. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Stand by. My special guest today is Rosalie Grable, and we're talking about video record in relation to the Twin Towers attacks on 9/11. And Rosalie has some extremely interesting studies here. We're looking right now at the Nadeh brothers frame by frame video purported to be of the strike on the North Tower. Rosalie, we're still in 48 through 59.
All right. I think that what we're seeing there is static electricity being generated. Is in one field of one frame. We see the flash for 1/60th of a second. That's the only time. We don't know if the frame before that and after that has been decimated because the continuity of all of the frames that are shown in front of the building is very poor. That tells us that some of the action has been nipped out.
So was the speed of the camera 60 frames a second?
The speed of the camera is initially 30 frames a second, but during that 30 frames a second, it is crossing twice. So it is actually putting two smaller MPEG size frames into every large DVD size frame.
So stretching it out by adding these frames?
It first is a line of one, and then is a line of another. And then is a line of the first, and then is a line of the second.
Mm-hmm.
So this, in areas where there is really fast movement, there's a sense of blurriness because we are actually seeing two frames at the same time squeezed together. Is that clear
okay,
yet?
Okay.
Now, once they're separated, then they're too wide, and they're narrow. So then we just narrow them down and have two really nice, clear MPEG size frames available.
Let's go to the next set. Let's see. That'll be 60 through 71. And this looks to be capturing the impact of these multiple vehicles, as you see it.
Yeah,
I mean, I looked at 71 or 70. It looks like there could be at least three of these. Is that the way you look at it?
At least three. And there's one coming around the side there, which is making what I call dust pimples on the side of the building. Momentarily now, they'll all explode, and there'll be this big showy fireball. What I think we're looking at is shown as... I can't pronounce his name, Michael Racantuto or some word like that. This guy who was a mad genius who's been kept in prison since before 9/11 even, who invented this of air fuel mixture stuff that sucks all of the oxygen when it explodes.
Yeah.
And
you think something like that was used here?
Absolutely. I think that it was set off by a beam weapon because the guy who originally sent me this article about this was some Los Alamos guy, and it kind of scared me to be in contact with a Los Alamos guy. And I
I'm looking at 82 through 84 through 95 at the moment.
And what are you seeing?
That's kind of weird.
it sure does.
Looks sort of like a cloth, like a washcloth sort of hanging out in space. I mean...
Let me reach that page so I can see what you're seeing.
Yeah. It certainly doesn't look like any aircraft.
And
this
you
is very,
can...
very strange, Rosalie. Why do you... I mean... Gad, do you think this is authentic footage of what was actually occurring on 9/11, or could the camera have been loaded with these images?
It's been cheesed, but it is authentic. I'm not saying that nobody's messed with it, because it's obviously messed with. The continuity when whatever it is in front of the building is very, very bad. So I'd say that a lot of frames have been just nipped out of it. Like they did on the Kennedy footage.
The was subjected to massive editing. I mean, it was actually recreated using, you know, footage from a couple of sources, it appears, where they combined foregrounds with backgrounds, took stuff out, contracted the sequence and all that using, techniques of optical printing and special effects.
They may have done some of that on the first hit, too. We can't rule that out, but the thing that they are showing is really there. It doesn't matter how much they cheese it, they weren't able to take away all of the information that is in there.
Tell me again about the runtime. You say the camera wasn't 60 frames per second, but was...
Normal speed, you know. When any camera is shooting film, it does this in two sweeps. Each frame is two sweeps across the CCD of the camera. Two times equals one frame. I don't know how I can make that any clearer.
Well, then how many frames per minute is this camera shooting?
Normal.
Yeah, normal.
We figure that would be 29.9 something.
That's probably 30, and then it's just slightly off in the terms of mechanics of this particular one.
Yeah, that's the most likely.
And slow-mo is going to be like 60, something like that?
Any of it, once it's been deinterlaced, there's twice as many frames.
Yeah.
So that would put this, as our best guess, at 60 per second.
60 per second.
On the other hand...
60 per minute.
Yeah, that's...
So one per second.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
1/60th of a second.
Right,
no, that's
right.
60 per
right.
second.
I'm looking at 96 through 107 now, and there's not a lot of difference in these frames. They look a whole lot. They look very similar. It's sort of got a baddish or even a toadish look about it. You know, if I'm trying to describe the geometry of what we're looking at, it's almost as though we're looking at a toad facing toward us, or maybe a bat. Would you agree?
Well, more likely than a plane, I'll go that far. But what I want you to notice in about the middle of each frame, and it's consistent on all of these. Well, a middle and then to the right.
Yeah.
There's a bright and triangular shape thingy that no matter what else is happening elsewhere on the page, it's just sitting there.
The triangular type thingy. I see this dark thing at the bottom.
the dark thing.
It's sort of like
a
piece of bacon. And but right in the center, there is sort of a brightness in the center of it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure those are either of the images you're alluding to, however.
No, the dark at the bottom may be artifact. I can't promise that.
Yeah, sure.
Is authentic because we're dealing with several thousand times bigger. But surely it was darker in the original, but if it's getting more dark than the original would have supported, it's real likely at that big of a manifestation.
What kind of corroboration would we have that this is of the authenticity of this as film footage? I mean, do you take eyewitness reports that suggest they saw this is what they saw as being part of the evidence and that for the authenticity of this?
I wouldn't take an eyewitness no matter what they were saying. All eyewitnesses are all they got's eyes. There's nothing easier to fake than an eyewitness. You can fake out the person, or they can lie, or some combination thereof.
Well, that's true, Rosalie, but, It depends on the nature of the witnesses. For example, there were several Secret Service agents who got nauseated when they saw Jack's brains and skull smeared over the back of the Lincoln limousine. And yet in the video, the trunk of the limousine is clear, but we know from multiple indications that his brain should have been on the trunk. So when we get this eyewitness, it turns out to be powerful corroboration. We'll be right back with my special guest, Rosalie Grable. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Dynamic Duo. Today, my special guest is Rosalie Grable, who's an expert on the photos and films related to the World Trade Center Twin Towers attack on 9/11. We've been talking about the photographic record in relation to the hit on the North Tower, which occurred first. And with regard to the government's official account, it claims that both buildings were hit by Boeing 767s, which are rather substantial aircraft. And Rosalie is certainly looking at this photographic frame-by-frame record from the Naudé brothers. There's no doubt that this, whatever we have here, it doesn't seem to resemble a Boeing 767 at all. On the other hand, you say they use missiles, in your title. I'm wondering, when I look at this, these are so nebulous, I'd almost say they use some things, they use what is it or something like that. It seems to be much more nebulous than missile.
Yeah, I agree. It's an old site. I figured it must be missiles way back then.
Now, listen, there's another thing about, about the witnesses. And there can be different kinds of witnesses based on the sense modality. Some could have heard something. Some could have seen something. I mean, if this were cooking, they could have smelled something, If they were up close and personal, they could have been touching something, blah, 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 blah. I think, with regard to having smelled or seen or touched something and so forth, that people can be fairly reliable about the gross features of what they're smelling or hearing but not maybe very good at their interpretation of exactly what it was. So, I mean, I'm inclined to agree with you about, being a little skeptical about the witnesses. On the other hand, there's some kind of evidence that we want to coordinate with or see if we can make coherent with the visual images. And I'm just wondering, have you paid any attention to your witness accounts? People heard something, in the Naudé brothers, of course, you see some people looking up to the plane, apparently because they hear it or they saw it out of the corner of their eye. I mean, do you have any evidence of that kind that tends to corroborate, whatever you think? I don't mean with regard to the interpretation now, but I mean just that there was something up there flying toward the building.
We have three different soundtracks.
Three different soundtracks.
And I'm not saying any of them is right.
But that's very interesting. Where did the soundtracks originate?
I don't know. They've originated different places on the web or Brad found them. Brad of 911review.org. He's the one who found that. There are three different soundtracks. I can't tell you
specifically. Brad has tracked down all three soundtracks?
Yeah, he found them. And then we have at least three different soundtracks for the second hit ghost plane footage. So...
Let's just stay on the Naudé brothers here on this north one for the moment, and we'll turn to the south in just a second. What are the indications to you that this is a real something or whatever it is, a real combination of something sitting in the North Tower?
Because there are subtle changes in not only in every frame but in every field of every frame. I believe that not all of the frames are represented, that they have been nipped out to make the object in the air and the objects in front of the building less distinct. They were nipped out to improve the sleight of hand effect of having, the explosion and the plane-shaped hole that in your brain tells you, oh, well, that must have been a plane, because the plane-shaped hole is plane shape. Did I lose you?
Yeah, go ahead, Rosalie. Now, these blow-ups, of course, are very weird. I mean, the building, of course, it looks like it could be made of rubber or elastic or whatever in these frames. A feature of having blown them up.
Clears up.
Is this the highest quality? Is this the best quality we have on the Naudé brothers?
It clears up after the explosion. Then suddenly we can see the corner thingy that I believe to be a window washer apparatus. We can see that clearly. We can see everything clearly. But before that, whether they have run some filter over it to make it like that, or whether
Maybe it's been reprinted several times to destroy the detail, right? Because there's so little detail here.
Yeah, maybe.
Like a Xerox. Take a Xerox copy, a copy of a Xerox, blah, blah. If you get several generations away, you lose this detail. But then you're telling me it comes back to much better detail after the hit.
Yeah, after the hit, you get all the detail fine. So
really?
Part of me is more ready to think that the camera was affected by some EMP in the air. Yeah, that it was picking up some interference that was in the air.
If I had to guess, I mean, I'm not looking at the other footage. Do you have it available where we could see the contrast between the detail and the subsequent frames after the hit?
No. I have it up on YouTube and all, but I haven't paid as much attention to those.
Could you make a note that in addition to going back to the Pavel footage, that we take a look at the not day after the hit so we get the contrast between these really fuzzy frames and those frames?
Yeah.
That would be real good for us to do tomorrow.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Let me ask you one more question while we're still on the North Tower up. What is your opinion about the role of the Nade brothers here? Do you think, was this just fortuitous that they happened to capture this?
No, there's no fortuitousness about it. There's like 70 different coincidences that all had to be coincident at the very same time.
And, really?
Yeah, and we just can't get, in...
So you've got
it would be like winning the lottery six times
somewhere.
In a row.
You got a paper where you lay out those coincidences?
I don't, but Les, it's at Dina Spignola's site. I can collect that, too.
Yeah, why don't you pull that off, and then you could just rattle them off. We don't have to go to that site, but if you had that available tomorrow, we could run through some of them. I'd be very interested to hear some of them.
Yeah.
Not all 70, but some of them.
For that, if you had Ray Eubinger on your show sometime, he is our a Nade expert a thousand times over.
Okay. Well, I've always presumed we would spend the majority of our time on the South Tower, so let me just invite you. What would you say? How would you sum up the evidence here that you've been presenting about the North Tower?
Whatever's there is there. It's not a plane.
And it seems to be some combination of maybe several UAVs.
A whole bunch, yep.
And the footage is extremely blurry until after the hit. And I would say this has been subjected to deliberate manipulation to wash out the details, which would have given away what was going on.
Yep.
So probably the good footage exists somewhere, but it was used by a process to make it obscure.
That would be interesting if there really is some clear footage.
Well, I think it's a safe inference. It's a safe inference, Rosalie, that the other footage you have after the strike is what this should have looked like. And if you just extrapolate backwards, it should have been of that same quality. And what happened was, of course, a deliberate process was undertaken, probably, getting many, many, many generations away in order to distort the images so you would not have available to you the images in any detail. Is this what was shown originally on television, to the best of your knowledge? When was this first shown?
This version was first shown around midnight California time.
Well, look at all the time they had then, you see, to mess with the film. I mean, they had the whole late morning and all afternoon into the evening. I mean, this was a lot of time to mess with it.
Yeah, the footage I found first, the Tanner footage at tanner.net/WTC, I believe is earlier. I can't promise that, and I can't prove that.
But that you mean that's where the Nade Brother film was shown earlier?
The same footage, but not the same version.
Really? Okay. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo, with my special guest, Rosalie Grable. Today, my special guest is Rosalie Grable, who's an expert on the films and videos related to 9/11 at the Twin Towers. And Rosalie, we've, of course, been discussing the North Tower, the hit on the North Tower, and the Nade Brothers film. If there's anything you'd like to add about that as a final footnote before we turn to the South Tower, please do so.
Hi.
Yeah, welcome back. Is there anything you'd like to add about the North Tower before we turn to the South?
I was offline, so I don't know. I disconnected myself during the commercial break.
Okay.
So,
well, all I said was that, you know, we had been talking about the North Tower, and now we were going to turn to the South, but I invited you to add anything you would like to add as a final note about the North Tower until tomorrow.
Oh, well, Nico thinks that my talking about the first hit is a hangout against the second hit. So
I don't understand what that means.
Over.
What does that mean, a hangout?
Well, you can only be talking about or thinking about one thing at a time.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about the first hit as a reason to not talk about the second hit.
On the contrary, I mean, we have 2 days that we're doing this, and, you know, 4 10-minute segments each hour, so we've just spent five 10-minute segments talking about the North Tower, and now we're going to the South.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Where should we go link-wise?
Webferry.org? Yeah, you can go to webferry.org/2hits, although all of the hits are better shown by now on YouTube or any of the, just put Webferry and Second Hit and stuff by...
Go to 2hit.
Leave webferry.org/2, H-I-T.
Okay. I'm getting a not found.
Oh, no.
Why don't we go to YouTube?
Oh, sure. Go to YouTube.
Okay, I'm going to hit YouTube. Should be there. Taking a moment. I'm going to re-enter the address. Oh, I'm there now. Okay, what should I put in for the address?
I don't know.
Webferry?
Yeah.
Do you use it one word or two?
I'm one word. Webferry.
Yeah.
W-E-B-F-A-I-R-Y.
Okay, Missilegate by Webferry. Let's see. Webferry's Missilegate, 9/11 Stealth, WTC, Family Guy, Octopus. Any of this sound right?
Yeah, that's all connected to me in some way. And, you know, I don't even care which of it you look at, because most of it by now is having to do with the second hit. Since it's so fakey that that's where 99.95% of the research has happened.
Yes. Would that include Missilegate by Webferry?
Well, Missilegate would be, yeah, that's my first hit footage.
Okay. Let's go. I'm going to Missilegate. This is the North Tower, but it's pretty dramatic. It's kind of a nice way to look at what we've been talking about. I encourage everyone then go to YouTube and look up Missilegate by Webferry, and it's got some wonderful James Bond music.
Yeah, that's from Genghis, and there was someone else who used...
I used Goldfinger. Is this going to have both of the hits then on it?
No, this is just the first hit Missilegate frames we were looking at, reanimated. If I had done anything that was fakey to that footage... You know, if I had done anything to it besides making it bigger, then that would show. When I reanimated it, it would look cartoony. And anything that I'd done that was futzing to it would show itself up.
Uh-huh.
And you can see that they come out, it's nice, smooth.
Well, let me just tell everyone, this is really great footage to look at after we've done our detailed frame-by-frame analysis. Go to YouTube and put on Missilegate by Webferry. And you'll see a nice, very nice, you know, capture of the Nade Brothers footage in relation to the North Tower.
Yeah. Now, webferry.org/2hit is there. It's all a matter of typos. http://webferry.org. Webferry, webferry.org/ 2 as in number 2, H-I-T.
Oh, the number, the numeral 2.
Yep.
Okay, maybe that was my mistake.
Yeah, that
does
brings
it have
you
a
to
www
my second
hit
gallery. I don't know. I don't care.
It's not working for me for some reason.
Well, can I email you the link? Are you online?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want. It's webferry.org, not com.
Webferry.org.
Okay.
WebFairy.com is owned by somebody else. I also have thewebfairy.com/911 brings you to
okay.
the same place.
Since we're on YouTube, what about if we go to another YouTube?
I wouldn't know exactly how to direct you to these footages, but...
Okay, well, take us where you want us to go, Rosalie.
Well, what I want to just do a quickie overview here is the fact that the second hit footage where we see all these planes, each and every time it's a cartoon. They've done it different ways. Some have taken files that began their life in Flight Simulator and just get pushed into a different environment.
Okay.
Some have real parts and fiction parts that have been put together to create an impression overall. Anything that you can remember that they ever did to the Z-Tune Kennedy footage, it isn't like they stopped knowing how to do that stuff.
Sure.
Only they've picked up the time element since, computers exist and all. And they put big, hairy computers and old-fashioned techniques in the crash footage. WebFairy.org/crash, K-R-A-S-H. The top one that I added later. But,
K-R-A-S-H?
K-R-A-S-H. Yep. Where we see the plane hippity-hopping.
Okay, good, good. That's where we want to go. Okay, everybody, when we come back, I want you to go to webfairy.org/KRASH/. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. We'll be back, right back, with my special guest, Rosalie Grable. Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch Kevin here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Today, my special guest is Rosalie Grable, an expert on the photographs and films related to the hits on the Twin Towers on 9/11, and we've been discussing initially the photographic record in relation to the North Tower, and now we're turning our attention to the South Tower. And if you were here before, then you should be on the website webfairy.org/crash, K-R-A-S-H/. Rosalie, I'm there. I'm looking at it. Why don't you start telling us about it?
All right. At the top there, this is not the footage we saw on television. Hopefully you have flash installed and hopefully you have broadband installed and can see that a plane hippity hops its way across the stage and then...
Meaning the jerk as it moves in motion.
Yeah. Really,
now,
what
is most astonishing to me about this particular perspective, Rosalie, is how perfectly the North Tower that blocks completely the South Tower. I mean, that to me is almost bizarre.
Yeah.
Do you think that's by design?
Oh, that's absolutely by design. We never see this version of the hit anyway. All we see is the plane, or the plane of that's with quotes around it, vanishing behind the building.
Yeah. Tell us about the plane.
The top one is not real. If you can tell, the top one is a joke.
Well, explain how you draw that inference.
The explosion happens at the wrong time.
Too early.
It's
taking place before the plane's even there. The plane's still on the right-hand side, and the explosion's already breaking out on the left.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful, Rosalie.
I didn't do that. We found it online.
You know, I've heard remarks about that, but I'd never seen it before. So in the jerk, the plane doesn't look quite right, that's for sure.
Yeah, come down farther, and then we get one that I made.
Okay, well, scroll down. I'm scrolling down.
Okay.
The second hit cartoon?
Just above that, you can see this plane hippity-hopping its way to where it's about to disappear behind
the
building.
Jerk.
Yeah, with a flash of its little fish tail.
The little fish tail looks real strange. That tail doesn't look right at all.
Yeah, it has a tail waggle in the one that gets called Park Foreman, too. I'd say that both are really a motion algorithm applied that just, you know, doesn't suit the real object.
Uh-huh.
in later versions that appear on DVD.
Well, this one down here looks a lot like a 747 because it's got the bulk at the top.
Yeah, it sure does, doesn't it?
Well, where did that come from?
I think that they didn't know the
A 767 from a 747?
Yeah, it is also at the same point where on the other side there'd be an engine. So some folks say that, no, that's just that effect because that's where the engine is, but it still doesn't turn that.
These really look very, these are very crude.
Very crude. It isn't even anything really that special, which is why, you know, the resistance of people we just can't understand.
Yeah.
Because it's not rocket science that.
Well, I think mostly it's probably a combination of just it sounds so, ridiculous, and then they just not look at the evidence. You know, they just don't get around to it. They can't bring themselves or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm seeing most of this for the first time myself, so, you know,
yeah.
This is. I suppose I'm an illustrative case, but I've been dealing with so many other aspects of 9/11 that this is the last one that I'm getting around to, telling you the truth.
I'm saying that what's real is things that they want us to think is absurd. That's how they can get away with it right in front of our face by being something that we can't see because we're not expecting it or couldn't imagine it.
Tell us about this series called Piece of Puzzle Is Maybe in This Picture.
Tell me for what?
Well, we're looking at a series that it says the first, it's right below, this is what a 767 looks like. Christian Czech, C-Z-E-C-H.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's just an old page, something written in 2000 and late 2.
Okay, is there anything significant we should pick up there in the intermediate series?
Well, he's showing how the plane has actually vanished into the wrong spot.
Yeah. Tell us more about that.
I don't know much more about that. It's his work, not mine. I just stuck it on the page.
Okay. Then we get down to second hit gallery. Here you got, why don't you tell us about some of these individual photographs or frames?
Well, we can look at,
Are we able to click on them?
Oh, sure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you click on one, and whatever one you pick, that's the one we'll talk about.
Yeah, I clicked on the first one.
Okay.
This is a CNN thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, one of the amputee planes.
Amputee plane.
Yeah, well, you can see that sort of in my close-up of it.
Yeah.
And that's all that's right here on this page is the close-up of it. I want you to go in a different browser window, hopefully.
Go ahead.
Killtown 911 Review, killtown.911review.org.
Okay, just a second. Killtown 911 Review.
Mm-hmm.
K-I-L-L-T-O-W-N 911 Review dot what?
Slash.
No. After 911 Review, is there a dot or a slash?
Oh, after 911 Review dot org.
Okay. Slash.
Second hit. 2ND.
2ND. 2ND.
Dash. H-I-T.
Dash or underscore?
Dash.
You mean hyphen, really?
Hyphen.
Hyphen what?
Hit, H-I-T.
Oh, second hyphen hit?
Yep, dot H-T-M-L.
Okay, dot H-T-M-L, all right.
This is Killtown's page with all of the different second hits that we have found.
Okay, it's taken me a second to get there, but I've got it in right.
It'll take a while, and it'll take a while to load, even with broadband, because Killtown is very thorough.
Okay.
Perhaps sometime you can have Killtown on your show.
Sure.
His specialty has been Flight 93.
Okay.
And he's just a kid, but he's such a thorough researcher, and he gets shat upon so mightily by the debunkery crowd out there.
So we'll plan to do it.
Yeah, an honest hearing would be good.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get to the site.
Or if you can't, we'll just go to something on mine.
I'm liking this gallery. Let's go to the second one, which is the big hit, right? So what do we got there? We have the plane again behind. No, this is the South Tower, and it's showing it hit on the corner.
I don't know which one you're at.
The second one, right next to the CNN. The Fireball.
Okay, I just had Kill Towns pop up.
You got it up?
Yeah, it popped up for me. No.
Hmm.
But the second one here is the Mind Blower. This is theoretically a amateur footage, but it's an amateur of a guy who works for the government.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that a coincidence?
Yeah, and any time that we find somebody who's seen the plane, they turn out to work for the government or for
PR firm
or for one of a short list of defense contractors.
Well, listen, Killtown can anticipate that if we don't get to his website today, I'm going to have him on, and we'll go through it with him when he's on the air. Rosalie, we'll be right back. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Stand by. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week, except just now and for the next 10 or 12 days, he's off in Morocco tracking down an alleged suicide hijacker. And I think if anyone can do it, our boy can do it. So he's the one. Rosalie, I'm back looking at your second hit gallery. Remember, we're going to have the whole program tomorrow to look at all these things in greater detail. And I'm just wondering, when I look at this whole array of, I think it must be 17 different videos, is there one or another you'd like us to look at to be thinking about before tomorrow when we return to this discussion?
No. I'd be thrilled. Just look at all of them, how they look on the page. There's no time to go through any
detail. I'm interested in the one that, 4, 5, 8, 9, 10. Number 11, you see this white spire, and you see the plane about to enter it. That's the one I'm going to click on right now, Rosalie. You see the one I'm talking about?
Okay.
It's the third from the left on the third row down.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to click on that one.
Looks to me like you've got photographer Evan Fairbanks catching the world in the act of changing.
That's right.
And now we got a slow motion of the plane not hitting, but vanishing into the building.
That seems to go in pretty smoothly, doesn't it?
Doesn't that? We can see that there is a flash frame, and it's also one field long, 60th of a second. There is a flash.
Yeah, what do you take that flash to be?
I take it to be exactly the same thing that we saw in the first hit.
Static electricity.
That's intentionally generating static electricity, and then the next step of this is the blowing of these dust pimples, which do raise before the explosion explodes, so that the plane shaped hole is actually higher than the dust pimples are. We've shown that recently too. But I believe that these were just setting the stage for a beam weapon, which did the actual hitting. No.
Really? So you think these are tied together?
I think these are tied together.
This is very interesting. Have you discussed this with Judy?
No, actually I haven't, other than the list mails in which, I'm simply insisting that the issue of the lack of planes and the issue of Star Wars beam weaponry actually belong together. They travel very nicely together and make like a left boot and a right boot. Somebody
kick us on one,
we kick them back on the other.
I'm going back to your second hit gallery, and now I'm going to the leftmost on the bottom. We got five across the bottom. I'm going to the first.
Okay.
And this is not too dissimilar from what we were just looking at. The plane is just slipping right into that building. Let me ask you this, Rosalie. Does the government maintain that all of this footage is authentic? Does the government have a position on
it? It's never said anything that I know about, unless you want to count the debunker sites like, Randy the Magician site and stuff, if that's the government view, or if you want to take Jim Hoffman as the government view, since he works for a defense contractor consortium.
I find that pretty amusing. Look at these frames you got here. Oh, this is great. You got a frame by frame. And, of course, you see where Butter Plane comes up and all that sort of thing. What are some other nifty names you have for these phenomena, Rosalie? Besides Butter Plane, is there another favorite?
Well, I invented the word what's it, because I didn't want people thinking I was talking about UFOs just because they were unidentified and flying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I originated the phrase, you know, this or that hugging.
Wait, I noticed at the bottom here there's talk about holograms. I know way back when your name was identified with a hologram theory. I take it that is not your position today.
No.
Maybe you want to comment on it.
That was before I knew about TV fakery.
Uh-huh.
It just, to be so strange and in so many different ones, I thought it was Project Bluebeam. And if somebody wanted to tell me, blue screen technology. Well, it turned out to be blue screen or green screen, but you'll have to get somebody who specializes in that to explain that one to you. Project Bluebeam is one of those things in like Patriot lore that at the end of the world they were going to project God onto the sky and everybody would hear it in their own language and all would bow down. Well, I thought that at some point in the line they'd figured out that nobody could agree what God looks like, but since people could agree what a plane looks like, that they projected a plane instead.
Let me ask you this, Rosalie. Now, we're looking at a lot of footage, and a lot of it certainly appears to be fake. I mean, this is very, very convincing stuff when it comes to fakery. How can we know what may have actually happened if our only access to what happened is through film or video that appears to have been faked?
It's a mixture of inductive and deductive reasoning. It's not all fake. The only way that they could have kept us from having access to information would have been to just have a blank screen, and then even the blank screen would have shown us some information. Some of this stuff is hopelessly faked. Some of it looks pretty good.
Well, I love your use of the distinction between deductive and inductive reasoning, which, of course, I taught for 35 years, Rosalie.
You've got to use both.
It's something you hear as a commonplace among researchers on 9/11, I got to say. Because, I mean, the point I have made, you know, is that there isn't a deductive connection here. Even if the film is fake, that doesn't prove there were no planes. It might be viewed as inductive evidence in support of the proposition, but it's not conclusive. That there could have been planes, even with fake video, is the point I'm making. There's a logical gap, not that one necessarily is going to be drawn to that conclusion.
If there had been a real plane, that would mean that they would have had to take the plane out of every scene and then put in their strangeness, which is,
Part of the argument is if there had been a real plane, then we would have had inconsistency in the photographic record because you'd some of the real plane and others of the fake plane?
If you want to go to the airport and bring 10 photographers with you and have them all take different angles of the same plane taking off,
yeah,
I bet you it's all going to look like the same plane.
Yes.
I bet you it's going to be reasonably the same color, and if he's farther away, sure, it might look a little smaller, and if he's closer, it might look a little bigger.
Unless somebody has old film and a weird camera or something like that. But
even if they had old film and a weird camera, pick out the weirdest cameras you can think of. They're still going to be at least reasonably consistent with one another, which this is not. It is never consistent. If you're just looking at the two-hit page here, we've got planes of different size, different shape, and different orientation. Purporting to be the same.
Wouldn't you think? Why do you think the government would? So many different varieties here. You think that
our government
would be smart enough to just maybe have like an official video that's a fake video, but the official one?
It isn't our government.
Yeah.
It gets supported by our government, but it's really the spookers. That's why I call it. Los Alamos 911 quote truth.
Mm-hmm.
Who are planning to take over by making their own fairy story about what happened on 911 and have people react emotionally and even violently to that, but it is fictional. It is just as fictional as the fictional government version is fictional.
Well, Rosalie, look, I'm simply delighted to be having you on. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Line things up the way you want us to go through them. Make sure we pick up a couple of those loose ends from our look at the North Tower. And I'm looking forward to having you back tomorrow.
Well, thanks. It's been a lot of fun. And I hope you'll have more no-planers on. We've all developed
I think you can count on that, Rosalie. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Thank you all for listening.
I don't know why you say goodbye. I say hello. Hello, hello. I don't know why you say goodbye. I say hello. Hello, hello. I don't know why you say goodbye. I say hello.
Where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week, except for the moment. Kevin is in Morocco tracking down one of the alleged suicide hijackers, a man who was astonished to find his name listed as having been killed on 9/11, and we have high expectations for his success. Before I introduce my special guest for today, I'd like to mention that there will be an event worth catching on television this evening on Hannity and Combs, which I believe will start at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Central, but around halfway through the program, a discussion will occur of the John Kerry comment at a press conference where he was questioned about Building 7 by two of the reporters in the audience, and where he said that he understood that the building had been brought down by a controlled demolition. This is going to be a topic for discussion with Webster, Griffin, Tarpley tonight. And I just like to mention a couple of issues that may arise during this exchange. One is that a recent Rasmussen poll shows that 35% think that Bush knew about 9/11 in advance. Don't be surprised if Hannity brings up that poll. A Zogby poll shows 65% of Republicans still think Saddam Hussein was connected to 9/11. That's a very interesting residual effect of all the false information and propaganda, since even George W. Bush himself has conceded that when asked at a press conference a couple of months ago what was the connection between Saddam and 9/11, with the single word, nothing. I hope and expect that Webster will encourage others to Google, everyone out there in the audience, to Google WTC7 or WTC-7. There are a lot of really good YouTube videos out there. In addition, let's hope that it may be the case. Webster will bring up the BBC blunder, the early report, which was broadcast at 4:57 p.m. before the building came down, 23 minutes too early, where you can see Building 7 in the background. Let's hope all those things take place. It will certainly be an interesting event this evening, and I encourage everyone to tune in. Today, my special guest and I continue a conversation we began yesterday. Her name is Rosalie Grable, and she's an expert on the video and film related to the World Trade Center Twin Towers attacks. And we had quite a fascinating discussion yesterday where Rosalie was taking us through website evidence, especially, of course, video evidence about what happened at WTC-1. And we began a discussion about WTC-2. And there were a couple of loose ends that we want to pick up with today, but I'm very pleased to welcome back to the Dynamic Duo, Rosalie Grable. Rosalie, welcome back.
Hi. Yes, I'm here.
Where would you like to begin?
Well, first, I'd like to make my own announcement of me that I'd rather hear than calling me expert, blah, blah, although I guess I am by now. But I was a pioneer when I was the very first person to notice that there was no plane in the first hit footage. It took another year before Holmgren discovered the evidence in the BTS that, well, it didn't exist there either. And since we already knew about 77, you know, certainly not being anywhere there at the Pentagon either, and not in the BTS database,
The BTS, Rosalie, being?
Bureau of Transportation Safety. It's
okay.
Just a bean counter database that just happened to be out there. It collects statistics for untimed flights.
Yes.
It has no political purpose. And he wandered upon it, and flights 11 and 77 weren't in it. And the only way to not be in it was to have been canceled at least a week in advance.
Data information in the official database. Very, very good.
Yes,
very,
at
very
that
good,
point, it was
well,
in there.
I think you and Gerald, with Gerard, with whom I've had a certain number of differences in the past, are to be commended for your astute observations early on. What year did you, or how soon did you notice that the footage for the North Tower didn't include an actual airplane, but rather something that might be vaguely interpreted as being one?
I'm not sure vaguely interpreted as being one even counts, but I discovered what I named a what's-it in the footage in April of 2002. That's a long time ago, and it certainly does not speak very well of me that in 5 years people still are unaware that there's just plain no plane in it.
Well, Rosalie, I think it's hard to deny that it must be possible that it can be vaguely interpreted as a plane, because an awful lot of us have seen that footage and not drawn the inference that it wasn't a plane, even if, you know, it was kind of gnawing at the back of our head that maybe there was something funny there. I think an awful lot of people just never got around to really taking a close look at the sort of, evidence, the sort of inventory of what's going on here you've been providing, for which I'm enormously grateful. Now, we had a couple loose ends, like the Pavel footage. Is that something you'd like to begin with?
Yeah, I fixed that. We can now go to webferry.org.
Okay.
/Pavel.
Okay, just a second. Webferry.
Mm-hmm. I got to draw this up, too. So.
org/Pavel/. Yeah, there it is. Okay, I'm there.
Okay, I'm not there yet.
Okay. Just for everyone out there, okay, Rosalie is also known as the Web Fairy. That's her email handle. So we're going to webfairy.org/Pavel, PAVEL/, and you have immediately so-called alleged Pavel footage, which was appears to have been shot from a fire truck, because you see his first series of reflection 1, 2, and 3, which indicate a rather large vehicle in the back window. We're looking in the back window of the vehicle in front of the source, presumably.
And it's white
of this footage.
And red.
Pardon me?
And it's white and red.
Yeah, and it's white and red and quite large, and certainly does have the aspects of a fire engine. I'm inclined to agree with that.
Yeah, there's three of them there, and anyone can be clicked and up to a flashy showing closer and slower of that particular section that's showing this fire truck.
Oh, that's great. I just did that, Rosalie, with the first. That's just terrific. You know, the way you put these sites together is really sensational.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed. Where would you like to go then to look at the which first Pavel footage should we look at?
Well, I have them. I hope that they're now properly listed in here. People can look at them when they want. Now, I want to tell you a story about this. The footage that I received, which was the only footage I knew of at the time, came from someone who believed in the Salter School of Bigger is Better. Well, they sent me a 300-and-something meg file that had been caught on a super VHS machine and then transferred to a Sony digital tape and then sent, via FTP. And my final version weighed 18 megs. But learning to clear up this artifact-ridden mess by bloating it so severely was an incredible challenge. Later, terrorized DK did come up with its own fresh footage, so we're not dependent merely on my work.
Okay. Well, under your Pavel First Hit resources, let's click that first one. Deinterlaced version of Pavel First Hit footage. I'm going to click it right now.
Okay, and we'll just hope it works.
Looks like it's going to. Taking a second to load. Says I need something from QuickTime, so maybe others are going to be able to watch this and I'm not. Oh, my, no, I lost my connection. Why don't you continue talking, Mosley? Tell us what we see here, and I'll try and catch up here.
Well, because I haven't seen that one either, because I haven't clicked on it. I clicked on the wrong thing myself, and I'm not even on that page anymore.
Okay, well, let's see if we can regain our location in cyberspace, everybody. Go to webtray.org/Pavel. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo, with my special guest, Rosalie Grable. We'll be right back. Today, my special guest is Rosalie Grable, a pioneer in research on the video evidence in relation to the hits on the Twin Towers. And, Rosalie, as I start looking at these, the first one I get that works pretty easily for me is the official Pavel story. Is that a good one for us to look at?
Sure. This is saved from another page. It just tells what the official story is about Pavel, that
yeah.
You know, it was taken from a black SUV and a picture of his boss, and some of the strangest looking body language you're going to see.
Let me play this, and I'll put the sound here on the phone, and we'll just run through it. It'll take about, I don't know, I'm going to guess 5 minutes, maybe less, and then we'll pick up from there.
Okay.
Thanks.
This is James Williams for the New York Times. On September 11th, a Czech immigrant worker named Pavel Hlava was riding to work with two of his companions, his boss, Mike Cohen, and his brother, Joseph. They were intending to go to Pennsylvania to a job site, but because Pavel's brother had just shown up in the United States, he asked Mike Cohen if he would drive past the Twin Towers. His brother had never seen them up close. And Mike agreed to go right into the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. While they were creeping ahead in the toll plaza, Pavel was trying out a new video camera. And he wasn't really paying all that much attention at one moment when he happened to have zoomed in on the Twin Towers. And in fact, he didn't even see a white object move toward the Twin Towers off in the distance. In about 2 seconds, that object disappeared for a moment, and then he saw, or his video camera saw, a puff of smoke billowing from the side of the North Tower. He kept it there long enough for that cloud to grow and grow and grow until it basically enveloped the entire top of the North Tower. And then, since he didn't see what had happened anyway, he simply panned his camera to the left and away from that point. Without knowing it, he had captured the first plane impact on the North Tower. It's only the second instance of a film we know of that did capture that impact. Now, they continued through the tunnel, and they emerged, and they saw the entire top of the North Tower engulfed in flames. As they're pointing the camera up, you hear a screech, but you don't see anything right away. And it gets louder and louder, and then suddenly you see, just unbelievably, directly overhead, another plane. And it flies right over their head and dives into the side of the South Tower. Well, there's a federal investigation going on now into why and how the towers collapsed ultimately. And in order to figure that out, you need to know basic things like how fast the airplanes were going. The only other video image of the first plane hitting the North Tower was taken more or less from below, so it's hard to get the speed of the plane from that. This particular film shows the plane coming in from the side, so it's very easy to see how fast it's going, and I would imagine that would be a big help in figuring out that speed. The energy that an object carries goes like the square of its velocity, so if you have a small mistake in how fast you think the plane is going, you have a big mistake in how much energy it carries in when it creates that impact. But it's also just one of these remarkably chaotic tales of September 11th, and the record of what they saw is not only haunting, but somehow hard to believe. They just happened to be pointing a camera in that direction from Brooklyn. They just happened to be panning in on the right spot when the plane came in. And then, moments later, they were under the towers when the second plane went over their head. It's hard to believe, but there it is. It's on the videotape.
It's hard to believe, all right, isn't it, Rosalind?
It's hard to believe, all right.
Look at that final image. I mean, the plane hitting the South Tower, or about to hit it, is way, way to the left, way too far over to be hitting on the corner on the right. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, it's also the wrong face of the building that they're looking at.
Yeah.
You know, if there were a plane in their video there, it would be hitting the wrong side of the building.
Exactly. That was just the point I was making. Now, you have observed, I mean, this is James Glanz. This is a reporter, well-known reporter for the New York Times, who's offering this story. And, of course, as you observe, it can't possibly be correct. It can't possibly be correct because Pavel wasn't in a vehicle with his brother driving into the city. This was taken from a fire engine, as you observe.
Yeah, for one, and that Pavel Havla is the name of a recently dead then Czech glass artist, so it's just a made-up name.
Really?
And another chunk of this story is how Pavel didn't even know that he'd taken this video, and he just took it back, and that's how it wound up almost destroyed by his kids and by miracle recovered, blah, blah, blah.
One miracle after another. Isn't it amazing?
Oh, yeah, they stack them up. They stack them up. Yes.
This is completely ridiculous.
Ray Eubinger tell you all of the coincidences in the Naudé footage.
Looking at what they're palming off as the plane hitting building two, that it's so far over to the left. I mean, it's just stunning. This is just so blatant, Rosalie.
It also couldn't be the same camera. The color quality from the Pavel first hit to the Pavel second hit is not possibly, even if it were a camera instead of, you know, a CGI screen in that second one.
You think the first, I'm going back and forth now using the slider there. You think the first is better or the second is better?
They're different.
They're different.
The second is a second hit cartoon that does seem to, it does have the building that is missing from the ghost plane footage shows real.
The building in the foreground. What building is that?
19 Rector Street, which they somehow managed to forget when they were putting together the ghost plane cartoon. But it's
this is
all
really
over
something, Rosalie. I got to tell you, this is really something.
Yeah,
really.
It's big, and it's if you don't look at it just right, it's scary. But as soon as you have confronted this and understood the implications here, it stops being scary.
Yeah.
Finally, you can get a grip on what is really being done to us, and it shows, you know, in ways that are not very easily debunked if anybody just makes that last connection to look for themselves instead of letting somebody tell them what they're supposed to see.
There can be no question, Rosalie, that this Pavel footage is fake. I think there can be no question about it whatsoever. This is ridiculous. The gross discrepancies here are simply overwhelming. Anyone who knows the least bit about where the plane hit on the South Tower knows that it hit in that corner to the right. Didn't impact with any core columns, not more than one, even though the NIST would make up the number 10, because if it had been less, they couldn't possibly bring about some kind of simulation of a collapse, so they just faked it all. They faked all their numbers, but here we see clearly fake footage. I'm really quite struck. Is there anything else we should look at? Today we're continuing a conversation with Rosalie Grable, a pioneer in the study of the film footage of the hits on the Twin Towers. And I must say, Rosalie, that between yesterday and today, you have convinced me, number one, that the Naudé brothers' footage cannot be used to justify the claim that a plane hit the North Tower, that at best it suggests that some very vague thing or collection of things may have hit the tower, but certainly there's no evidence there that substantiates the idea of a Boeing 757 hitting the North Tower. Second of all, that this Pavel footage is a complete charade, that the official story that he filmed it when he was driving into the city with a relative, was it his brother, is false, that it appears to have been taken from a fire truck, that the footage it shows is includes impossible scenes about the South Tower, and the whole thing appears to be a monstrous fraud. So what that means is, if these are the two sources for evidential support for the claims that a plane hit the North Tower in particular, that is the case is clearly not substantiated by the evidence, but which on the contrary raises only the most serious questions. And if the Pavel footage was taken to be, you know, of any evidential weight in relation to the South Tower, it's ridiculous, because the plane isn't even in the right relative position in relation to the tower. So you've convinced me of all these things so far, Rosalie. Where should we go now?
Cool. I'm speechless. There's so much more evidence than just me. I mean, there was a time I was all alone, and the fact that there was no plane in the first hit footage was the only, you know, sticking out sideways kind of fact from what I could tell either. And then Holmgren came up with the fact that it wasn't in the BTS. I want to tell you this story.
Please.
First, it was, you know, not in the BTS at all. And then the BTS database disappeared, and it reappeared at some point, and then the planes were in it, but the planes didn't take off. So we, you know, advertised around that the planes weren't taking off. So once again, the database disappeared, and it got cheesed again, and lo and behold, they're taking off. But now they're taking off from a helicopter pad.
Let me ask you this. Does Holmgren then have records? Did he make printouts of the absence of these records from the original BTF?
And oh,
when
sure.
They reappeared,
he's got this all backed up. He's done a great job. My records are shattered from many disc crashes and all, but he's taken excellent care.
Could you invite him to, or could you obtain a link to, you know, a basic study about this that I could put up on Scholars? I mean, obviously, this is very worthy of inclusion in our articles, and I would like to do that.
Oh, cool. It's at his site. I can do the link.
He and I have had such strained relations that, well, I think this is completely appropriate. I'm not eager to, you know, contact him directly. But if you would like if you'd like to send me a link, Rosalie, I will pursue it. I'll put it up. Now, let's go to another site and pursue this business with the South Tower. Where should we go? Where should we go on
all
the internet?
Let's go back to my second hit page, or Kill Town. Let's go to Google. Let's go to Google. And just type in second hit, Kill Town.
Second hit with a numeral?
Any way you want to do it. It
second
always
hit,
comes up for me.
Kill Town.
Yep, second hit, Kill Town. And yes.
Okay.
I got
a couple of them. Kill Town's WTC plane crash videos. Kill Town.
Yep.
Oddities of the Scott Myers second WTC hit video. Kill Town. Where should I go?
The first one there is WTC plane crash videos.
Yes.
Here you can see
this is
everyone.
A wonderful display. I
it's
love
available
this.
On site.
Look at all of this. Look at all of this.
And you can see the discrepancies between them even.
Yeah. What's the Wolfgang Staley? Is that the name Staley? What do we got going on there?
I don't know. This is Kill Town's evidence. He could tell you offhand. You'll have to tell me where you are.
I've seen something in this Staley thing. I just clicked it open, and it's showing something that is jerky, but it shows something looks like it's coming toward the building. This is very interesting. Staley. I'm clicking on the second one. No, this is slowed down. This is more in relation to the North Tower here, Rosalie. This is very interesting. The first is active. The very first. Click to enlarge, and you get the plane or you get something.
I found what you're talking about. Yes.
Are you looking at it too?
Uh huh.
Yeah. What do you think we got there?
I think we got a crude fakery, extremely crude.
Look at the way that fireball explodes out of the building. That's really curious.
Well, the first hit really did, just like the second hit. The first hit explodes on the opposite side of the building first.
Yeah.
This one is not correct. No, it's more the way you'd imagine it. It shows this object at least hitting and exploding on the side that has the explosion. But in real life, the opposite side of the building exploded first on both hits.
Yeah.
That's more visible on the second hit. You know, the plane just kind of vanishes into the building like a soap bubble. And then there's this big, showy explosion on the opposite side.
All right. If we go back to Killtown's, the home page there.
Okay.
I don't know if it actually is the home page, but anyway, the crash video page. Mm-hmm. Right below it, you have this a little YouTube about the woman saying that was not American Airlines. You know, that's very interesting why she said that. Have you ever paid attention to that, Rosalie?
Oh, yeah. I've got a whole page about that.
Tell me about it. Tell us about it.
Webferry.org/Bluebeam. Or no, that would be, http://webferry.
Yeah, well, let's not go to that website. Let's just look at this one image and you talk about it. Tell me about it. What's going on
okay,
here?
Okay, well, let me get there. Camera Planet.
Uh-huh.
This had a lot of problem with its original inclusion in plain sight. Trying to say that it was phony overall, that it was just written in here. But I've got my in plain sight undebunkered on this page, webferry.org/cameraplanet, which is this particular footage.
Yeah, just talk about it, Rosalie. Just tell me what you've discerned about this woman here claiming that was not an American Airlines plane.
Okay, apparently she knows the person who's taking this footage.
Yeah.
And she's got a portable radio with her, and she's just standing next to the person who's holding the camera, and she's talking to the radio. And the radio had just, given this that this was an American Airlines, and she's too far away to have seen from here, whether it was an American Airlines or not.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, she seems way too far away, unless the plane passed directly over her head or something.
Yeah.
Unless, if it was a plane. And everyone has to understand that when we talk about these things, all the qualifications that have gone before apply. If we talk about plane, that doesn't mean we mean it actually is a plane. It's what has been described as a plane, which might or might not bear any facsimile or relationship to a real plane. So.
Yeah, which doesn't bear, because real planes do not vanish without exploding. Boom! That's, Newton's third law.
You want everyone on killtown.911review.org/second-hit.html. We'll return momentarily. Thursday, continuing my conversation today with Rosalie Grable, a pioneer in research on the video record in relation to the hits on the Twin Towers. We're talking about the second tower. We've already had convincing evidence produced that the video record does not support, but actually dramatically undermines the idea that a Boeing 767 could have hit the North Tower. Certainly the Pavel footage is complete rubbish, and the Nade brothers footage is too vague and indeterminate to support any such inference, which means that we have no evidence that whatever hit the North Tower was anything resembling what the government has claimed. Now we're looking at Killtown's site at killtown.911review.org/second-hit.html. And I must say, Rosalie, this is a very impressive site, and I'd like for everyone to know that I'm going to continue to have those of you who have been doing research on this this footage on the air, and Killtown in particular has agreed to come on the show on the 22nd. So I'm going to be having Killtown on the air on the 22nd, that's Tuesday, and we'll continue this discussion. So don't worry about, we're obviously not going to be able to cover all the bases, and if we go over stuff again and again, I think that's just fine because it's very important stuff. Now, if I look at this WABC-7, and I assume that was the channel in New York over which it was broadcast, Rosalie, is that right? Rosalie?
Killtown stuff that I know vaguely if I look at it, but he's the expert on his page, not me.
Right, right. I'd just like to point out this quote right below the WABC-7, the three rows there.
Yeah.
Talking about a conversation with Charlie Gibson, where Dan Doler is saying, ABC's Dan Doler is on the scene. Don, just give me some description again of what you can see now. Doler, well, we see it appears that there is more and more fire and smoke enveloping the very top of the building, and of course he's talking about the North Tower, and as fire crews are descending on this area, it does not appear that there's any kind of an effort up there yet. Now remember, oh my God, Gibson, That looks like a second plane has just hit. Dollar, I didn't see a plane go in. That just exploded. I, Gibson, we just saw another plane coming in from the side. Dollar, you did? That was obscured from my view. Gibson, that second explosion, you can see the plane coming in from the right-hand side of the screen. Now, I just got to tell you, Rosalie, it's pretty obvious to me reading this that Gibson is putting those words out there, but he doesn't have evidence for it from the visual record, which suggests to me he's playing a role here that's been pre-designed. This troubles me profoundly. Charlie Gibson was a classmate of my brother's at Princeton in the class of 1965. I graduated in the class of 62, and I'm very, very troubled by this. This just looks completely contrived that Charlie Gibson was preset to talk about another plane hitting when the actual reporter on the scene didn't see it. Do you have any alternative interpretation?
My alternative interpretation is that he did see what I call the crash cartoon hippity hopping in from stage left.
You do think he did see
from
something?
Stage right. Yeah, I saw it too. You know, I was watching TV then.
Okay.
And I wasn't prepared to think that somebody was making this stuff up.
Yeah.
We have, for 100% certain, tracked down the technology that can add that a crash cartoon hippity-hopping past.
Yeah.
It was made better by the time we're getting into, you know, DVD of the collected footage. It's much better than what was shown on television and, you know, has been cleaned up some.
Yeah.
But
okay, well, you've exonerated Charlie, at least in part, if he actually has some visual evidence to substantiate what he's saying there, because that's bothered me tremendously.
It would be interesting how
we're going to have Killtown on, since this is Killtown's page. Let's go back to one of your pages. Rosalie, where should we go?
All right, I want to go back to webfairy.org/CameraPlanet.
Camera Planet.
Yep.
That's Planet. One word, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'm there. In plain sight, undebunkered. That's what I'm finding here.
Yep.
Right?
That's what I want you to find.
Okay, where shall we go?
We're going to go down that page some. It'd be nice if I could reach my own page because I want to be quoting. In the middle there, there's three flashies. And they have, the last two have radio transcripts of more people who surprised them that they didn't see a plane.
Should we click one of those?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, I'll play it. I'll put it on the air. I'll put it on the air. That was the center one of those three, Rosalie. I'm going to now play the right-hand one, too.
Yeah.
The interesting detail you observe, I did not hear the explosion, even though I was looking at it. The explosion and fire started. I didn't see the plane hit the building, but I did see an explosion occur. Those are very interesting statements.
Mm-hmm. And that's the sort of statements that we find from real, true witnesses. By the time they start seeing logos on airplanes, we know that they're fake.
Very, very interesting. Where should we go here? Is there something here from In Plain Sight? You say it shows only part of a clip. See the whole clip? Do you want to look at the whole clip, one of those?
I don't know if I have it linked. My page was made before we had YouTube.
Uh-huh.
So I use YouTube nowadays just like everybody else.
Okay.
But back before YouTube, I made these flashies so that people would be able to see this stuff.
Okay, I clicked them and none of them worked. Let's go somewhere else then. Where should we go now?
Home Good Site.
All right. Give me directions.
We're going to go to Google.
Okay.
And did I disconnect me?
No, you're okay.
Okay, we're just going to type in Holmgren, H-O-L-M-G-R-E-N, and we're going to type in second hit.
Okay, Holmgren, oh, after Holmgren, comma, second hit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it helps if I spell it right, of course, and then just click.
I am.
And see what we've got. to come up there.
Okay,
manufactured terrorism.
Okay, this manufactured terrorism, and then this what really hit the WTC on September 11th.
Yeah, that one could be interesting.
All right, we'll go there. What really hit the WTC?
Yeah, this is from the Salter debates. This was not long after Holmgren publicly, in his highly regarded article from mainstream sources tracking the entire evidence back in the day when, you know, we really thought that mainstream sources were the ones that were credible. You know, we've learned different since.
Where did that appear?
His manufactured terrorism article has appeared on his website.
On his website.
Since
okay.
He first made it in 2000.
Sounds like that's another one I ought to have linked from scholars, right?
Oh, certainly. Anything on his site that you want to link is worthy of scholars.
Let's see.
Anyway, this is from his debate with Eric and Brian Salter.
Right, I see now we go down a little ways and you got three websites, thewebfairy.com/911, then you'll get there's 9/11hoax.com, and then there's missilegate.com. Should we go to any of those?
Yeah, go to 911hoax.com.
Okay.
This is Scott Lowry's site, Lougherey. I'm probably pronouncing him wrong. He was the absolute pioneer at the notion of TV fakery.
Okay, let's see if we can get to that site, everybody. We'll be right back with my special guest, Rosalie Grable. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Dynamic Duo. Jim Fetzer, your host on The Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where the boy wonder can be found here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, except at the moment he's off in Morocco tracking down one of the alleged suicide hijackers. I wish him well, and I expect him to succeed. He's a very resourceful fellow. Let me mention before I continue my conversation with Rosalie Grable, that this evening on Hannity and Combs, which begins at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Central Time on the Fox News Network, there will be a discussion about John Kerry's recent response to a question at a press conference where he was, when asked about WTC-7, indicated that he understood it had been brought down by controlled demolition in the interests of safety. This has generated a lot of concern. And they're going to have Webster Griffin Tarpley on to talk about it. Among the points that may arise, keep your ears tuned. A Rasmussen poll that shows 35% of Democrats think Bush knew about 9/11 in advance. Hannity may very well bring up that poll. A Zogby poll showing 65% of Republicans think Saddam Hussein was connected to the 9/11 attacks, which is almost bizarre at this point in time, since even George W. Bush himself has acknowledged that Saddam Hussein had, in Bush's own word, nothing to do with 9/11. And, of course, we will expect Webster to mention, you know, going to YouTube and or doing a Google on WTC-7 or WTC-7, and you'll find all kinds of footage. I also would hope that he will bring up the BBC spectacular blunder of announcing that the WTC-7 had collapsed 23 minutes before the event actually took place, where you can see the reporter talking about this with the building over her left shoulder in the background. Really stunning stuff, raising all kinds of important questions about the relationship between the intelligence agencies, the mass media, and the U.S. government. All that's very troubling, fascinating tonight. Webster will probably be on about half past the hour, probably 9:30 Eastern Time, 8:30 Central Time. Now, when I mentioned the last link, as we were talking about going to a different website, the link is actually given incorrectly on the page. It's there's no slash. It's just 911hoax.com. So I've gone to 911hoax.com, Rosalie, and we can probably proceed from there. Are you on that page, too?
I was. Let me see. Yes, world's most he was so early at this TV fakery angle. Even I didn't believe him back then, at least not as seriously. He was the inspiration for a Ray Eubinger who made an entire specialty out of the Naughty Snuff film.
Okay, there's a link here. It says CBS won't let you see the TV news video again. I'm clicking on that.
Okay.
And we go to a page which has a lot of stuff on it that might be of interest to us. Are you with me? Are we on the same page?
Yeah, yeah.
You see, for example, off on the left is this little clip that shows a plane going in and out of the building. And, of course, it's hard to believe that you can have this this plane being entered by this plane with so little debris or damage to the plane, etc. But I think probably the more important are lower down. It says CBS 9/11 video. This was censored. Can we click on this? This woman talking to Brian Gumbel from faraway Chelsea sees live plane hit. Is that the woman who said that it wasn't an American Airlines plane?
No. No, that's a different one.
Okay, is this worth looking at?
The lady in Chelsea, 911 logicblogspot.com has this lady and her view and what she could really have seen and even who she is.
We can't just click on it here, huh?
Nope, not from here.
Okay, why don't you give us that website again? We'll go to it. What is it?
Okay, 911 logic.
Logic.
Yep, 911 logic.
All
run together. 911 logic.
Yep, I got it. What else?
Dot blogspot.com.
Okay, 911 logic blogspot. I don't know. I've got some religious advertisement here. Maybe I don't have something right. Give us the address again,
it
Rosie.
It works for me. 911 logic.
Logic
dot blogspot.com.
And that's it. Just blogspot.com.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I don't personally know which one of these. Eyewitness report cards is that very person, but we can look through them.
Oh, there's an awful lot of stuff here.
Yeah, Libby Clark, she's...
this is religious.
No, you haven't found the right spot.
I'm on the wrong place.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. Send me whatever link you found that's trying to look like...
I'm on 911logic.logspot.com. Is that the right one?
BLOGSPOT.com. Yes, and I promise you it's not religious.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I don't know what to make of it then.
Okay, well, we'll have to go somewhere else. If you could copy this link that you saw and send it to me, if they are, redirecting 911 logic blogspot.com to some religious page. That would be interesting to know. It is possible that, your computer is served by a different name server than mine is.
That would be curious.
That would be curious. So please keep a copy of this link.
Where else can we go to see some more video? Should we go back to your own site, Rosalie?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, where should we go then? Let's go back to your own site.
Okay. TheWebFairy.com.
TheWebFairy.com, okay. I'm there. Good. Whole bunch of stuff. Where should we go on these?
And I can't even promise all these links work right now.
Got
since
it.
We switched servers, but I've got whole bunches of interesting things from here.
Right. WebFairy 9/11 Memorial?
Yeah, that's now WebFairy.org. That's
I'm clicking
my WebFairy Memorial.
Okay. Cameras were mute. I see right at the top you got the second crash in slow-mo.
This is at 911. And yes, this version, they even showed us this in a close-up slow motion on television. And we didn't catch on right away. It is insane. Yep. Yep. And this is about photographer Evan Fairbanks, who, strangely, we don't hear anything about anymore.
He allegedly took this?
Allegedly. Notice that the colors is not a normal coloration for any normal scene.
The blues, the grays, the darks, and all that?
Yeah, yeah. It's very much, I think I also have Evan Fairbanks footage at a directory called Bluebeam, because this footage as shown on television, it was like black and white, only black and blue and white.
Okay, that's interesting. What do we have right below it? There's something here all about this is a dustification of the North Tower.
Wherever you are.
I'm just looking right below the second crash we were just talking about. There's you got a box there with a bunch of clips in it, including the dustification. Oh, there's another one of the plane hitting the South Tower.
Yep, and then I see an amputee plane. I don't know if we get to see the same ones on this little slideshow thing. I'm seeing the missile.
But that's the justification of the North Tower. Now, there it is again. This is the amputee plane, you call it, because?
Because it's only got a part of a wing. It's like well, we figure, or I figure anyway, that these were created, like, in Flight Simulator.
Mm-hmm.
And then the parts of the plane that showed reflections that were the same color or the same color range as the background, those parts got removed.
Okay, Rosalie, during this break, figure out where you'd like to take us from here. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with my special guest, Rosalie Grable. We'll be right back. Today we're continuing our conversation with Rosalie Grable, a pioneer in research on the videos in relation to the alleged plane hits on the World Trade Center. Twin Towers. Without any doubt, we've already taken apart the evidence for the hit on the North Tower, which only included two videos, the Nade brothers and the Pavel video. The Pavel video is clearly supported by a false story and is unworthy of belief. The Nade brothers gives you the impression of some vague assemblage of something headed toward the building, but it certainly cannot provide substantiation for the claim that a Boeing 767 hit the building. So now we're turning our attention to the South Tower, where there's a vastly larger and more varied video record. And Rosalie, let me ask for where you would like to take us now.
I'm going to take you back to the first hit, because that's my specialty, and you can get plenty about the second hit from Killtown next week, along with his Flight 93 knowledge. But I want to finish up here with Edna.
Okay, it'll actually be 2 weeks from yesterday that we'll have Killtown on. He'll be on the 22nd. But that's fine, Rosalie. You take us wherever you want.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I want to take you to meet Edna Cintrone. Webferry.com/911/Edna
or Edna. Okay,
Webferry.org/911/Edna.
All right, E-D-N-A, Edna.
Yep.
All right.
Edna Cintrone.
That works. Oh, good. We're going to look at the impact.
We're going to take a look at the plane shape hole itself.
Okay, terrific.
We're going to notice this incredibly brave woman standing in this hole, waving at the end of the universe until what turned out to be the end of time, apparently. She appeared sometime shortly after the second hit. Thank God she wasn't hanging like that during the first hit, during the second hit, because we do see other people falling from higher on the building when the first hit happened. So there was some tremendous shock when the second hit happened to the survivors of the first hit.
Okay, so I'm seeing Edna down here toward the bottom of the center of the image, just to the left, right?
Yeah,
if you go back and turn your cursor, you have a little box that identifies her.
Yeah, you can see where this is, and you can see how darn long she was there. The first shows lots of flame above, and there's also flame below her there.
Yeah.
But there's no flame in the area of the plane-shaped hole. This is my favorite evidence that this was the sort of weaponry that sucks up all the available oxygen.
Yeah, well, talk about it. Just talk about it. Tell us what you think, what you see in this.
Yeah, I think that what we saw earlier in the first hit with these dust pimples, that those dust pimples were ignited, and that these dust pimples are already listed as being the kind of weaponry that sucks out all the oxygen, which explains why at the...
Rosalie, just to get clear on your language, when you talk about dust pimples, are you talking about what others have described as squibs?
I'm talking about during the first hit and also during the second hit, we see these gray blobs turn up. If we go back to the missile gate footage, you could tell what I meant there, that there are these there's soon to be explosions, but they haven't exploded yet.
Okay.
They're dust pimples getting blown out.
There's an awful lot of regularity about this blowout, isn't there? I mean, look how those neat, trim, straight lines at the top, at the bottom. I mean, it's all very straight.
Yeah.
You got segments of 4 or 5. Now, that may be having to do with how the wheat checks, as Judy calls them, are put together. But it could be something else. I mean, it's very artificial looking.
Yeah, well, to me, it looks like they used a Tesla howitzer or some secret weapon that they don't want to tell us about, and they just went boom from end to end after the dust pimples made the illusion of a plane shape-ish hole.
You think it was from the right to the left or left to the right?
That part I can't tell. I think it happened while, in fact, I think I could show you the exact, not right now I couldn't, because I just think of that must be what it was that I was looking at. The scene, or the frames during which the plane shape slash across, you're seeing the slash from top to bottom.
Uh-huh.
That slash goes clear over to the corner of the building, which is not shown in that page.
Right. Yeah, if I had to guess, I'd say it stopped at, it started at the top right, and it seems to have spent more time toward the center and then moved to the left. I mean, if I had to guess, but Judy could, I'm sure, give a more expert analysis of this.
Yeah.
But, but it certainly has a great deal of artificiality about it. It certainly doesn't look right. It doesn't look right. You'd expect a whole bunch of these beams to be bent inward, by the way, if you got this massive, you know, impact from an external force. And I don't see
any
there's one just beside
that didn't happen.
That's slightly bent inward, but that's an exception.
No beams would be bent in by a plane hitting a building.
It just
wouldn't happen. That's what we bitch about. You're not supporting Newton's third. No. Newton's third law says that no plane could hit a building and leave a hole like that. It's just,
well,
it's a cartoon hole supporting cartoon physics.
We're not talking about equal and opposite reaction? Is that what you're talking about?
I think so. That's not my specialty. You talk to Still Diggin' and Holmgren about exactly what they mean, but it's reflective of equations that would take Judy Wood like a day maybe to prove out from
okay,
the center
so
of her.
The earlier of these two images is the one with all the fire and smoke, right? And then the
yeah,
later one
earlier.
Is where the
yep.
smoke and fire subsided, right?
Yeah, they burned out some.
Yeah.
I'm guessing this represents like 15 minutes of real time. That's a guess.
Huh.
We've got two pieces of film, each 2 seconds long. Because people couldn't really see Edna Centrone there. Well, they couldn't see her when she appeared in the NIST report either. But there she is waving that they're lying through their teeth.
What eventually happened to Edna? Did she jump?
We don't know.
We don't know.
I don't think she'd ever jump. I think
okay.
she was there when the building started falling.
All right, move down. What about this thing here, the NIST? Damage SFRM. What does that mean, SFRM?
That's just a page from the NIST report, and if you look real close, you've got Edna Centrone.
Above 134?
Above 134.
We'll be right back with my special guest, Rosalie Grable. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Stand by. Meanwhile, today we're continuing our conversation with Rosalie Grable, a pioneer in the study of the video footage in relation to the Twin Towers and an expert in particular on the North Tower. And Rosalie, just for everyone, here we're looking at the webferry.com/911/Edna/#. Edna Centrone's last stand, and this is a very interesting way you've got this arranged, where if you just run the cursor back and forth on the image, and you see two different time-sequenced images there, and below it, you have a north face of WTC-1 and then a couple of analyses. So just so everyone's clear, we're talking about the north tower, which was hit first by what may or may not have been some assemblage of UAVs, right?
That's kind of
weird.
Like to me, it's more than kind of weird, but they just happen to be using these suckers, bragging about them over Afghanistan, and they're looking forward to running them over America.
Now, Rosalie, do you have any idea what this ought to look like if a Boeing 767 actually had hit that building?
Yes, I've got that. We can go to missilegate.com.
Okay, good. So I do webferry.com/911missilegate or where? No.
Missilegate.com. MISSILEGATE.
MISSILEGATE.com. Okay.
Slash.
Okay, I'm there.
Okay. Slash blob 11.
Slash blob 11?
Yep. Because that's what we named that sucker, was Blob 11.
Okay, Blob 11.
It's actually Blobs 11, but we didn't know that right away.
Okay.
And here you can see this object that they were passing off as being the plane. It's the wrong size and in the wrong position, but if you scroll down a little, you can see that it does show perspective value. I mean, it is larger when it's closer to the camera and does get smaller as it recedes toward the flash frame there.
Uh-huh.
This image was made by Marcus Icky, who's a genius at photoshopping.
Okay, we go a little further down then, I see. Below, you got the firemen are actually the same size. One looks bigger because he's closer to the camera. And then below it, you have this animation. I think that's what I'm looking for, the animation that shows what it might have looked like if a plane had actually hit the building. Am I right?
Yeah, the one below is from the Discovery Channel, and up above the fireman, we have what it would have looked like from a flight simulator view. This is also made by Marcus Icky, what it would have looked like if a plane had been flying long and low overhead.
But I think you meant the History Channel. Did this actually get onto the History Channel?
Oh, yes. Yes, that was on the History Channel, and when it aired in early 2003, I think, people, see, that shows that a plane really hit, because they couldn't understand. So I wrote on it, this is an animation, because, you know, the History Channel just presented that as real, as something for your brain to kind of accept as being the image, so that you could believe in this fictional of planes hitting buildings.
You're telling me the History Channel ran an animation by Marcus Icky that was supposed to show what
if
the plane had actually hit the building, as though that's what the building had actually looked like based on
I don't know who made the History Channel animation. I'm saying that the animation above the fireman.
Yeah.
The animation above the fireman is the one that Marcus Icky made.
Oh, above the fireman.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't actually show what the hole should look like.
Yeah, that disappears before. This one does show the hole.
In fact, the nose of that plane is disappearing as it gets toward the building, I notice. It's contracting, or seems to be.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a perspectival issue.
Well, it does that in the ghost plane, too, which I also think began its life as a flight simulator.
Okay,
animation.
So this History Channel thing is below the fireman is not Marcus Icky, or is it?
No.
That's
History Channel, they have.
But it doesn't really look like what we actually have, does it? I mean, it seems to me there are quite a few differences, are there not?
Oh, yeah. This is an out-and-out. No, this is an animation. This is an animation. They didn't say it's an animation, but you've just got to know it's an animation.
Now, below, I take it that's a real image of the facade. Then you have the diagram imposed upon it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could see why a lot of people might think there's a close correspondence when you look at that diagram imposed upon it.
Yeah, when you impose that on it, but no, it's just, then you're just picking up what you're told. It's not a real plane, it's a picture of a plane. And it's not a real building, it's a picture of a building.
Now, do you or Holmgren or Morgan or others who are studying this think that this animation is a fairly accurate depiction of what it should have looked like if a plane had hit the building?
A real plane would not have made a plane-shaped hole. But it would have. This one does show an explosion on contact, which is more accurate than what the real, quote-quote, shows.
Okay, what else have we got here?
Here we've got just some odd pictures. One is this picture of the corner thingy that I think is involved in their window washing apparatus.
You mean that thing on the top right corner?
Yeah.
The white thingy.
Yeah.
That looks like a crane there. I see. You got like a little crane that would swing out.
Yeah, there's one on each building.
Yeah, well, you probably need one on every corner, wouldn't you, to do all the windows?
I don't know. I don't know. It's so far unstudied maybe somebody who's listening and following along right now.
Well, you can't support a Wizard Watchers platform from only one side of it. Obviously, it's got to be on both sides. So I expect there'd be a little crane, or maybe there are two of them and runners up there. You'd need two, a minimum of two that were portable.
Yeah, if that's what it is, but somebody will be able to find the website that sells window washer for skyscraper supplies and give us the exact dimensions of that object, assuming I'm correct.
It's even more conspicuous on the right-hand side with a fireball there in the top right corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, very conspicuous.
Very conspicuous.
Okay, where else should we go, Rosalie, in the time that remains? Where else would you like to go?
I'd like to go to the webfairy.911/chaos.
Okay. Webfairy.
The webfairy.
Thewebfairy.com.
Chaos.
Thewebfairy.com/chaos?
Yep.
Okay.
This is my Pages from the Book of Life.
I'm there.
I invented long before 911.
All right.
That gave me the peace of mind to be able to pursue my mission to get
all
real
right.
truth back on Earth.
Yep. I see. All right. So what we're talking about here is how you have been inspired to cope with issues in life, including the massive problems presented by 9/11 and the research you've been doing, which is so disillusioning and threatening to our sense of values and what kind of a country we live in and what kind of people we are.
Yeah, but at the same time, this is about the great neutral force, chaos, and it is the great neutral force that directed energy taps into.
We'll be right back with my special guest, Rosalie Grable. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. My special guest today is Rosalie Grable, and we're completing our fourth hour of discussion about photographic evidence in relation to hits on the Twin Towers, with an emphasis on World Trade Center 1, the North Tower, which was hit first but fell second. We're going to continue discussion of the video evidence with Hilltown on Tuesday the 22nd. He has a wonderful website, and I expect that we're going to get deeply into issues about the visual record related to the hit on the South Tower, which, of course, occurred second, but the tower fell first. Now, Rosalie, in the break, I found a piece of footage here that I think we really can't not look at by way of conclusion before we go to anything else, which is found at thewebfairy.com/911/edna/fireball.htm.
Okay. Let me go find it. And
A close-up of the plane-shaped hole on some of your links.
Okay.
And this is a very, very interesting section of footage, and it's dynamic, and lets us see what we've been talking about. So if this is good with you, I'm going to play this, and we can talk about it. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, just take a sec. I'm going to start to play it now.
We're hearing that in joining and confirm what you saw, that our vice president from CNN said he was really seeing a small plane crash into tower number one as well. And ironically, that is the same tower that the World Trade Center bombing happened in 2 years ago, but everybody clearly remembers. How about flight rules? Do you have any idea about flight rules?
I'm not sure. I mean, it was following the proper, as far as I can see from my house, it was following the proper
Rosalie, you're saying it was an Airbus or a 737.
Yep. Yep,
and another explosion, is that going on then with the South Tower? Is that the hit on the South Tower they're hearing but not showing?
There's no plane to be seen. It ought to have been seen if it was there, but it's not there. But instead, we hear this noise that I identify as coming from, like, HARP. I think it
was... that interruption there, right after he said, or at 737, there was that noise. That's what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. That is, to me, a proof or hint that it was directed energy used on the second hit to simulate a plane, that they did the same thing that they did on the first hit with the UAVs blowing dust pimples that are oxygen-eating explosions.
By the way, in this footage, you can see that crane at the top corner there very, very clearly in some of the frames here.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there's the South Tower going up. Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
You see it now? Do you have your footage still going?
No, it isn't going for me.
It's going for me. The spectacular fireball in the North Tower. My goodness, how enormous. Now flip back to reload. That's very interesting footage.
Yeah, it is. I don't think it's still... Yes, it is still up at the, at its original site. This is good. If you click the top link to WTCVJS.org, it is still, after all these years, still online. Yep.
Very good, very good.
In several versions.
The attack tower won roughly 2 minutes after being struck?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, I see. Okay, I'm loading it right now.
Yeah, this is a real good page because this has been there. It's an original source there. After 5 years and something, there really aren't that many original sources that we can still point to that this has been up every single day. So.
Now, this footage has no commentary, but...
Yeah, it's just the raw human, or we'll trust it's a human. There's no second hit cartoons in it or anything.
Yeah.
So we assume this is a real live... witness.
Yeah. Well, Rosalie, I'm just delighted with you for coming on and taking us through all of this. There's a tremendous amount of video record out there for discussion.
Yeah, and there's tremendous numbers of us who have all of this fresh information to share. Coffin Man, well, I think of right off the bat. He's just down, confined to his kid's computer because his kids blew up his computer, or else he... trying to do heavy-duty video on it, just kind of blew it up himself.
Well, I can certainly appreciate the frustration you have felt when persons who one would have supposed ought to know better, say, give myself as an example, have been negligent in looking at the evidence, such as we've been going through these last 2 days, because it's so obvious once you actually stop and consider it that the government story about the North Tower, for example, is simply preposterous, that it's not... remotely supported by the video evidence.
Well, not only the government story, but the Los Alamos 911 quote truth movement story that is just as busy hugging planes as the official story is.
Tell me a little about that. Elaborate on that, Rosalie. Why you use the phrase Los Alamos 911 truth movement?
I've been under attack for 5 years and some, because ever since I came up with the What's It in the First Place, there's been intense name-calling, authoritarian threats against me, and just the same kind of thing that you and Judy Wood faced when you came out with the beam weaponry. And now, since it's the same voices shrieking the same curses, I figure it's the same gang.
Uh-huh.
But once we're dealing with direct energy, we know that they are covering up various technologies connected with Los Alamos.
Well, I'll tell you, as we go through this, and I'm sure I will be reinforced in this opinion when Killtown and I return to these subjects on the 22nd, I'm becoming more and more convinced that the really legitimately controversial areas of research in 9/11 are not whether no planes may have hit the Twin Towers, for which there's already, obviously, a tremendous amount of evidence. I mean, I'm already convinced about
with the North Tower, and I'm confident I'll be, you know, find very persuasive what we have yet to look at, or I have yet to see in the South Tower, or that the use of some kind of high-tech directed energy weaponry, for which, in my opinion, there's an overwhelming amount of evidence, and which I've discussed over and over again in connection with Judy's research. But what I think is the really legitimate issue is the whether or not the case for the use of thermite and thermate at the Twin Towers can be justified. I have been examining Steve's work here, and I must tell you, I'm more and more troubled by different aspects of what he's been doing that seem to me to fail to satisfy the appropriate standards for scientific research. So that here's a man who touts himself as a scientist, claims to follow the scientific method. I've already explained previously that his conception of scientific method is severely flawed. Mm-hmm. And I'd just like to point out that anyone who's seriously interested in this should go on to actually either 9/11 blogger or 9/11 researchers and take a look at what I put up there about the proof of thermate questioned, because there's an awful lot of issues here that need to be resolved. Rosalie, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I look forward to extending this discussion with Killtown. I'm just very grateful to you for all of your research. Thank you. Thank you again.
I think the holes were made by thermite. They actually did use it, but it was Wutsits. That's what they were blowing with their plane shape.
Fascinating. That's great. I love it. We'll think about that, too. We'll talk about it more. Thank you so much, Rosalie Grable. Jim Fetzer, your host. This is the Dynamic Duo. Thank you for listening.